This is a podcast brought to you by Macleans.ca, the destination for the national conversation. Thanks for listening.
Is it okay if I slouch?
Yes, it's okay that you slouch. Jonathan, Charlie, welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, to me, covering the Olympics sounds kind of glamorous. Is it?
It's like covering a political campaign with fitter people.
I personally don't think that anywhere where there are 28,000 journalists should be allowed to call itself glamorous.
And where the predominant food sponsor is McDonald's.
Is that true?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that was actually, you guys have led perfectly into several questions I had lined up. What do you eat on the go? Like, do you pack special snacks? Because, like, when do you stop? You don't stop, do you? Isn't it just go?
It's go. You eat when you can. Which unfortunately does end up with a lot of McDonald's meals, but they have cafeterias at most of the venues where you can get yourself stadium food.
Yeah, so there's always stuff to fuel up on if you need to.
And you're traveling between venues, so there's opportunity to stop at restaurants and places along the way if you want to get a nicer meal.
How well do both of you know London?
I know it fairly well. I've been, I think, 3 times now.
Okay.
Traveled around on the tube a fair bit. That's the funny thing about the Olympics. You don't necessarily need to know the geography all that well because a lot of the transportation is taken care of for you. They have an Olympic bus network usually that takes reporters from venue to venue.
We each have a designated chauffeur that carries 45 smelly people at a time.
See? It does sound very glamorous. Yeah. And when you've covered the games in the past, is there ever a sense of camaraderie among the journalists? Or is it more of a sense of competition, I guess?
No, I mean, there's a camaraderie. You have competitors there, but there tend to be people that you get to know, especially if you've done a few games or if you've worked other sporting events in the past, which we both have. I mean, there's a lot of friends there. There's some time for fun. It can be fun.
I think the sports press in general is a little bit more friendly than the mainstream kind of like news press. So, that brings a lot of fun to it. Like, at hockey games in Vancouver, for example, if the game went into overtime, one of the reporters was in charge of getting names for a pool to see who would score in overtime, and everyone would kick in $10. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, and then everybody gathers afterward for beers, and it's very nice.
And then the money all went to charity.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. All went to charity, of course, absolutely. What's the event that you're most looking forward to covering?
I don't know if I've stopped to think about that. I mean, I can tell you the one I'm looking forward to most covering is the one where a Canadian wins an incredible medal.
And yeah.
Whether it's, in Beijing, that medal for me was triathlon, the silver that Simon Whitfield won in triathlon, which was unexpected and just was done in a really spectacular and very exciting way. And so, I mean, whatever that event is, there'll be something like that. Yeah.
I like the ones with the sense of drama and excitement. So, obviously the 100 and 200 meter in track, you have Usain Bolt up against his countryman Yohan Blake. It's a big standoff between those two. Blake has actually beaten Usain Bolt a couple of times this year, so I think there's going to be a lot of drama surrounding those two races. And, I think Usain Bolt's probably just lying in the weeds right now. I don't think he's been running it in top gear, so we'll see what happens in London. But to me, that's going to be probably the signature event of the Games, as it often is.
And is there a limited number of journalists that can go to one game, or is it sort of a free-for-all?
There are different levels of accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
For Macleans, we all have what are called e-passes, which allow us to go and see anything at any time. Yeah, it's like Disney. It's an e-pass,
fantastic.
Just like Disney. So in the old day, a lot of the journalists who are there will be accredited for sport-specific a ticket, so they'll only be able to see cycling, for example, or whatever they've been accredited for. But when you have one of these passes, it's great. You can kind of bounce between events, and then there's occasionally limitations on space. Swimming finals, in Beijing when Michael Phelps was going for seven or eight, his eighth gold medal, those were ticketed events because there wasn't a lot of space inside the building.
There's a hierarchy, though, right?
Yeah.
For example, if a country's doing really well in a certain event, I think it's understood that their journalists are kind of, going to be front and center. There's also the difference between rights holding, like broadcasters who hold Olympic rights. They get first crack at all interviews with the athletes.
And
it's a separate thing because they paid for it. Yeah.
Man. And so when do you guys actually do your filing? Because you'll be working for stories for the magazine, for the website. This all happens, I guess, en route to other events at night.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the internet. We do our filing all the time now.
Yeah, it's no break. It's no downtime. 24/7.
So it's certainly not a vacation going to London.
No, I mean, I said in the beginning that it was like a political campaign, and it is. That's the only thing I've ever covered in my career that's remotely the same. It goes on for weeks, and it's constant, and it's exhausting.
Yeah, and even, you know, it used to be during political campaigns that everyone had a time to file, and there was a certain time of day when it was understood that, you know, that it was downtime, and I don't think that really occurs anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Twitter
does
never
it?
Sleeps, right?
Twitter never sleeps. Speaking of which, make sure to follow both Jonathan and Charlie on Twitter. I will give you the details in the post that we attach this podcast to. Take me through a typical day.
A typical day starts, I don't know, about whenever you crawl out of bed, and normally involves then having to get your butt down somewhere for about 9 a.m. when the events start, and you know, you go through maybe two or three or four different sports in the day, depending on what's going on. McLean's, with a staff of three covering the games, it's a fair bit of churn, right? You have to make sure that you're there to catch whatever you can, and also any Canadians that seem to have a chance of going on or meddling on that day. Mm-hmm. And then you normally go, there are afternoon events and then there are evening events. By the end of the day, the day normally ends about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. If somebody hasn't meddled at night. If somebody's meddled at night, it might end about midnight. And then you go and have dinner, and then you go back to bed, and you sleep for 5 hours, and you do it again for 21 days.
Oh, my gosh. Charlie?
First thing in the morning, you're looking on the internet at what your competitors have done. I mean, at McLean's, we have the luxury of being a weekly, but again, you know, we've talked about how the web changes everything. So you want to be as current as you can. So we'd be looking at what types of stories they've done, whether or not there are stories that we think that we could develop that they're not doing.
Right.
And then, you know, the IOC has news conferences on most days. They'll put up various officials at some point or another. Jacques Rogge, for example, will speak. And so we'll divvy up those responsibilities, decide who's going to cover that. And, you know, just for the sake of being there, or in some cases you might have a question you want answered related to a specific event. Like, for example, if something has occurred with regard to the rules or...
Right.
That's an opportunity to speak to Olympic officials. So, you know, there are these things in between. And then sometimes you are doing a bit of, you know, not so much backfilling, trying to catch up. Something is perhaps a Canadian athlete does really well, so you'll want to catch up to that story in some way, shape, or form. So you might spend your day running around trying to get in touch with them and their coaches.
Yeah, track them down.
Yeah.
One last question. Between the three of you, because Ken McQueen is the third joining you, he's our bureau chief out in B.C., is there ever a sense of competition to cover something? Like if you want to do something more than Jonathan does, do you arm wrestle? Is there fighting?
Well,
verbal abuse?
This is only my second games, so, you know, I've got fresh eyes, so basically I get my pick of the lot. That's how it's going to work, right, Jonathan?
The competition is more to dump the crappy stories on somebody than to cover the good ones, so no. It all tends to work out. There's so many events, there's so many athletes to follow. That you, basically, it's more an issue about making sure that we're covering all the things we want to cover,
right,
as opposed to competing for the best bits.
Yeah, it's. I think it's more a question of dividing up responsibilities and bodies, and, you know, determining who can be where when.
That's right. Okay. Thanks very much, guys, and have fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.